Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The following podcast of The Bench is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BENCH101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com. Use promo code BENCH101.
The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. Lance hangs out till 9:30.
That's right.
Raheel joins us at 9 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.
We were offered by management a chance to, because this is considered a holiday. It should be a holiday, Martin Luther King Day. And but in radio, we've never had this holiday. Like at 6:10, remember when we didn't get 4th of July?
We didn't get
anything, and they would never tell us that we had, this is the best. We were never told. I didn't even know until.
So you still got days coming over there?
Yeah. I had days coming over here for 1560 probably.
Probably.
I didn't know about these comp days until 790 when I got where Charlie worked, and then I learned all, and I started working with Charlie. It wasn't until I started working with Charlie where I realized, oh my God, we get these days off. And management almost like, it's like they were upset that I found out.
Yeah, as well they should be.
Yeah, these are all vacation. If you work them, then you get an additional vacation day.
Yeah.
And so we were asked, do y'all want to work this or not? And we're like, yeah, this is the day after the Super Bowl set.
Del, if you don't want to work today, you shouldn't be in the business, right? Is that the truth?
I mean, I thought it was Labor Day.
That is Labor Day, but it's also today. If you don't want to work the day after after Championship Sunday, then you don't want to be in the business, okay? Now, I will say this, you should be, although I met a guy at Correa, Springer, and Lance McCullers. There was a meet and greet from Black Horse Limo. They did it at Warehouse Live. People come through and sign and take pictures with the guys and sign autographs. If you're a big Black Horse Limo enthusiast, if you rent a bunch of limos from Justin, he will invite you over and you get to take pictures with those guys. It's really neat. One guy in line said, "Hey, is Dell really black? No, really, is he really black?" And I was like, no, he's really not, kind of.
What did you say I was?
I didn't say you were anything. I just said, listen to him, okay?
What does that mean?
I don't know. I just said, the guy said it, not me.
No, but you said your response was listen to him. No.
That's all. I just said, well, listen to him because we want more listeners on the radio.
But he already listens.
Well, I don't know. He might not listen today.
So
I don't know.
Why would he know have any knowledge Del, of who I am if he doesn't listen?
I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying.
You said the man asked you if Dell was really black because he had some preconceived notions about what a black man should sound like.
So he's racist.
And
that's
then
all.
You said what?
I didn't say
what
anything.
Was your response again?
I said I'm not sure.
No, you just said
I can't hear. I can't listen. It's dark in that room.
No,
I can't see in there.
You
okay?
You initially said no. just listen to them.
Is the stream down or not?
Yeah, the computers. I had to reset the computers. It's not fired up yet again. So when that happens, I can turn on the stream.
So it's not fired up yet?
No, the computer always crashes overnight for some reason.
So let me ask you a question. Do you guys think that that no call was a good no call or a bad no call?
Say that again?
Do you think the no call was a good...
In the Saints?
In the Saints game?
It was a terrible. It cost them a Super Bowl. That's an obvious... The player, he was asking, he's like, yeah, I hit him early. I was trying to make sure I was looking for the penalty, but they didn't call it. Did you see what Todd Gurley posted?
Yeah. the exchange.
I don't know how he photoshopped it or who did, but that's like the most blatant, troll I've ever, if you didn't know this, if you didn't somehow see this play, the Saints wide receivers, it wasn't Brandon, was it Cooks?
No.
It was Lewis.
It was Tommy Lee.
Yeah, he got smacked. First of all, it was early on a swing pass. It was like almost a little wheel route. Secondly, it was helmet to helmet. There were two different infractions that would have been a first down.
Yeah, I could see how you'd miss that.
They would have grinded the game out. I saw it in real time. I'm like, that's a penalty. And when I saw there wasn't, and I had some interest in the Rams winning the game outright. But I'm just like, well, that's over. And then just thought, how is there not a penalty on that?
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was helmet to helmet, but more importantly, he was there early. That was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And the Saints, and if you're a Saint fan, this one will never go away. This one will live with you. I mean, the Marcus Williams was a gigantic, colossal mistake by a defender. You were kept from the Super Bowl. Drew Brees may never get to another Super Bowl because of the official who didn't make a call. And that is just the truth. Like, rarely do I think officials directly impact.
No, that did.
But that did.
They run out the clock. They would have got it down to 4 seconds, kicked the field goal, and won the game.
I feel bad for Saints fans because it's just, you took away an opportunity that's such a rare opportunity. If that happened to the Astros with how much joy we had with the World Series, if somehow we had gotten squeezed as a fan base because of an organization.
Like Joe West squeezed us last year?
A play that now the difference is Baseball Review is probably going to get it right. But could you believe in the next game how many bang-bang official plays there were in the last quarter of that unusually high-scoring fourth quarter that I know you were not a fan of?
Nope. Not a fan at all.
I didn't realize that until I heard them say, 38 points. This is the highest scoring fourth quarter in playoff history. I'm like, oh, I know somebody who's not going to start doing the math on that. I'm like,
let me ask you if you thought I had a good day. Saints over, Chiefs under. Let me ask you if you thought that was a good day. I had everything exactly wrong all day. But it
could have been right.
It was a great day anyway.
At one point, you were going to be right on both of them, and then they were wrong.
No. They were both looking very good until they were no longer any good. Let me ask you this one. Do you think that they could in any way will we hear about possible penalties being reviewed in this postseason, and will we get overtime rules reviewed by the competition committees?
Well, I don't think the penalty rules will be. If it's not called, they can't call it in perpetuity. That's not going to happen. I don't see that happening. What do you mean by the overtime rules? In what way?
Well, that both teams at least get a shot.
No, I don't think we'll see that. Because that's going to make the game automatically longer. And the league's not trying to make games longer because then the players are going to rightfully say, we got to have more money for this potentially.
But it's hard to disagree with, first of all, the first game was decided by the refs, and the second game was decided by a coin toss. Somebody put that out there on Twitter.
I think it was decided by terrible secondary, personally.
Well, that's another one, though. Decided by a phantom roughing the passer. Oh, by the way, Chiefs fans, you can blame D Ford for lining up all sides because that decided the game for you.
I mean, I've never seen officiating. Once again, I'm going through that game thinking this is unbelievable. Every other play, the officials are either getting involved with a mysterious call or a D Ford, which was on the player, or they're having to review plays that are hard to review. Like the Now, once you saw enough angles, you realize that was the right call with Julian Edelman. The second one with Chris Hogan was more, that was more up for interpretation. And Gene Steditore, I'll give him credit. I think it's really been smart to have those guys. It started with what's his name with the glasses who thinks he's Hollywood. If you ever see him, you know who's the other ref that's the first one that was in the that's
that
in
was
the
in the first one in the
with
booth?
Troy with Jay with Buck and
yeah I forget who it is.
If Dell would just come back to the mic, he would know. But anyway. You know who I'm talking about, the glasses and grayish hair.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So when I see him, because he shows up at like the combine. Dell, who's the official with Buck and Troy?
Not Steritor.
Long time official. I don't remember. Open Twitter.
I forget. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm doing Ron Rivera.
No, we're doing a Peter Griffin hurting his knee.
Oh, I thought that was Ron Rivera with his making a kick or miss while he's drinking his Diet Pepsi, because that happens. Hey, by the way, thanks, guys, for not just sending the name in here on Twitter. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. So anyway, but the point is, I think those guys have done a great job of adding context into these and giving you insight. It's almost like it's smart because it makes the fans smarter about what to look for, so they're not all pissy about some of these calls that get overturned or not overturned. Like, it's actually, I think, a smart thing to
Mike
have.
Mike Pereira.
Thank you.
Your
people. And there's you always disrespect your people.
I think, I'm not sure he's my people. Is he?
I think, but I'm not sure.
He's not Portuguese?
He might be. Yeah. There's a lot of vowels going. Yeah. I was thinking it was.
I mean, those people, nobody wants to be associated with the Portuguese. Anyway.
Mike Pereira. So, but I couldn't believe how many calls were bang, 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 bang. And then D Ford screwed them, but then the Phantom 15-yarder screwed them. But they're never going to – I don't think they're ever going to take a look at human penalties or non-penalties like that. I don't think they'll get to that point.
So JD just put out, the refs cost us the game. Here's a face mask by one Saints player. Here's a Saints player stepping on the face of a Ram. Here's another face mask. Here's the Saints snapping. That snap came late. There was no question about that.
Oh, yeah, there was no doubt about
that. There was no doubt about that. There are definitely all kinds of bad calls.
Every game but you that can do
one,
that stuff.
That one directly led to the loss. Play.
Sorry, Mega Blast.
Well,
that's,
you think so, considering the Saints did allow the Rams to go down the field and tie the game.
Oh, hold on. There's two things. That is true. And also, Sean Payton, you can kill off all their timeouts. The first throw?
Yeah.
The throw on the slant into the ground?
Except that's on Drew. Except that's like a handoff. Drew Brees on that throw?
That's like a handoff? Throwing a swing pass out to Alvin Kamara as a handoff.
Well, that was, but here's the deal. Drew Brees should make that throw. He threw it right into the ground.
But you know what else is a handoff?
That's on Drew Brees, you know not what else on Sean
a handoff?
Payton.
A handoff?
Yeah, a handoff is a handoff.
They kill off the clock, and they get it basically down. They're going to kick a field goal, and they'll basically will have had it down to 1 minute to go. And they didn't, they chose, they ended up making them burn one timeout. That's it. On those three plays, they made them burn one timeout. Now, one of them should have been a penalty. You would have had your choice of two different penalties on the third down play. Man, I feel bad for the Saints fans. I don't feel bad for me with the, me telling you guys to play the money line. I do feel bad with the Rams, but I do feel bad because the Saints literally got taken. Like, there's no doubt. There is no doubt the Saints go to the Super Bowl if that's called correctly.
Mm-hmm. Well, but again, a lot of calls. That one directly led to the loss, though. Mm-hmm. No question about that. All right, 7-Eleven, ESPN 97.5. You guys come on in. We'll get you on the other side. Mo, you're going to be first up.
We can't get rid of the Patriots. This is unbelievable. These nuclear roaches.
So,
and this is what happens when your defense sucks all year long. And you, offense. You know what? Getting a stop on third down should not be that hard. Third and seven or more, Tom Brady was 6-6. You got to get off the field at better than 50% clip if you're a defense.
I talked about it before the show. I am a fan of Bob Sutton's approach. Look, our pass rushers haven't gotten there all day. So what we're going to do is continue to leave the middle of the field open and play two deep safeties.
Yeah.
Because
leave the underneath open where Tom Brady likes to throw between the hashes.
Because I guess we're pretending like we're the New York Giants from those Super Bowl games where they actually could get pressure on Tom Brady. Because your guys were not close all game long. But they were
close enough to rough the passer.
Okay. But we're not going to – you brought that up before the show, too. but we're not going to change anything we do on third downs and just hope it works.
That fatal blow, Tom Brady almost died from that, him skimming near his helmet. He almost died from that. So, yeah, okay. That's on that defensive line, okay? That's a terror. That is so bad. 712 ESPN 97.5. Who wants in? 713-780-3776.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
All right, here is an L.A. bar as the game-winning – listen to this. Listen to the unbridled enthusiasm as the ball goes through the uprights for the Rams win.
To the Super Bowl they go.
To the Super Bowl. Somebody's – did you hear that at the end? The guy goes, "Is that game? Is that the end of the game? Is it over?"
Sounds like there was some excitement in the air.
Did we win? Yeah, 2 years where nobody shows up at their stadium, right? There were more Cowboy fans there last week, weren't there? And they're going to the Super Bowl, and everybody, yay! Oh,
I mean,
did we win? Is that over?
Before they moved back, the Rams had been gone for how many years?
How many years were they gone? 16?
From L.A.? I think it was...
I don't know. How long
were they? No. More than that.
Was it mid-90s?
Right? Yeah, mid-90s.
So you're talking about 20-plus years of not having that team. I guess I would ask you guys if... it wasn't as long with the Oilers.
But no, we can show you another one where the Rams fans are all gathered in a bar and they go crazy.
It's probably not a Rams bar.
No, and they go crazy. But then the thought is... You know, this is the weird part. Their age group could not have been fans of the Rams previously. No one. Mm-mm. I mean, it was way too far. That must be a very strange feeling. I guess it's like Warriors fans probably felt for a while, is what it's like. And I know people love to say this about Astros fans. There were a lot of dormant Astros fans who had been Astros fans. You know, the holier-than-now Astros fans who cheered for the 100-loss team, who went out to games, which that's great, but they have a tendency to look down on anybody that was quote unquote on the bandwagon. And I get that. You're out there sweating it with some really bad talent. You're living and dying. And all of a sudden other people get to come in and experience the happiness and joy of winning without any of the struggles of losing. That's called being a LeBron fan too. Well, so I guess my whole deal is there were a lot of people who were Astros fans who just kind of bailed on the Astros because they've got no joy from them. They didn't have any fun watching them. And let's face it, the Astros, A, weren't on TV for a while. They had 100 lost teams. But it's got to be strange to not have a football team for years, and now you get one back. Is this the third year, right? The third year they've been back in L.A.?
They came back in 16, 17, 18, yeah. 21 years they were in
St. Louis. And
you're
already like, man.
Man, we're in the Super Bowl.
Because I know you weren't a rabid fan after year one. And I know you weren't a rabid fan after year two. You might have got hyped with some of the signings after, you know, I mean, Gurley went off last year. You might have got hyped after Marcus Peters' move and Ndamukong Suh and things like that. But you are literally just, you turned into a Rams fan probably about game four this season or five. That's got to be weird to just like... Oh my God, we did it! We did it, Kevin! We made it, Kevin! It's been 12 games! The 12 games that we've been Rams fans. What an amazing ups and downs. We had those road losses.
Remember we lost to the Bears?
Remember when Cooper Kupp got hurt and we never thought we could get here? What an amazing journey this has been over these 12 games that we've been fans. And they're out there like, there's two dudes. Del, tell me you saw these two dudes. the two dudes in the old school Rams jerseys, blue and gold, that they still wear now.
You mean, I remember the guy the next
Saints?
To the
at
mom
the
and
Saints,
dad.
Who and the guy had the long, had the like new wave hair. He kept pushing it back, and he was emotionally spent. Just after the game, like he was so happy, just like, oh my God.
Finally, we finally got there.
Oh my
there.
God, we did it! We did it! I'm just thinking, dude, you cannot have been a Rams fan more than a year and a half. Maybe he's a guy who said, "Dude, we need to." With the Rams coming back, dude, we need to start being Rams fans. Which how else is it going to happen when a team just moves in? That's how Texans fans had to start in 2002. I get that.
Yeah, but let's not get season tickets though. You know what? We'll know
if that guy got season tickets.
He did travel to New Orleans.
He traveled to New Orleans.
But that's not the hardest game to travel to. Well, we're going to New Orleans, bro.
Look, we don't know that guy in particular.
But we can judge him. We can judge off TV, Dell.
Why?
You can tell on TV about people. And this guy was a douchebag.
You can tell, Dell.
It's rude.
Hey, did y'all hear I ran a marathon yesterday?
You didn't run. You watched somebody.
Well, at one point, so my wife was running, but at one point, like she was coming around the turn over there at off of San Felipe and Tanglewood, and I was running with her. I ran with her for probably a quarter of a mile, just talking to her and stuff like that. And then I did it again at mile 23 to help boost her energy. So it was like, I didn't run a marathon, but it was a lot like
so
I was running a marathon.
You ran like a block?
Yeah. But I didn't get tired
ran
at all.
A half are a you, mile.
I didn't run as much.
Are you like that marathon runner that got in the middle of the race?
Rosie Ruiz.
Rosie Ruiz. Yeah. That's you.
So you
Lance Ruiz.
Took the bus.
So you ran
on the subway, and they're like, well, we saw her on the subway.
You ran like a half a mile, but not consecutively.
It was like I was running a marathon. Like, I didn't say I ran a marathon, but it was like it because I was
like
with the marathon runners.
Hours between each quarter of a mile, right? That what you're saying?
I ran a shorter marathon.
A little bit shorter. But
I could tell I had the energy to keep going
for
a while.
How'd she do?
She finished. She ran a personal best of 4:09.
4:09's good.
She was hauling. She actually ran her fastest time was the last 1.4. She ran a pace of under 9 minutes. And she finished at 4:09:59. Her goal was to break 4:10. She was sprinting the last 1.4, like she was busting it. There was this one guy, we caught her at right down the stretch there at George R. Brown, and there was this guy standing there. He was probably 5'8", 5'9", maybe about 230, and you could tell he used to be a high school linebacker probably, and he's just sitting there on the fence screaming at everybody, sprint, sprint, leave it all out here. Leave it all out. They've run 26 miles.
And this guy
screaming at them.
Does he have a hamburger in his left hand?
He might have had a beer.
Well, there you go.
But he was like screaming at them, like, don't slow down. Push yourself. He's screaming to push themselves. Like, sir, they've been pushing themselves for 26 miles. And he's just so.
Yeah, he's helping.
He's so mad at people who are walking down the stretch. Like, who are walking, he's just like, why are you walking? You will regret this. Dude, you got to stop yelling at people. And then one lady finally goes, why don't you get out there and run with them?
Because
I'm like, ooh, it's getting salty in the stands.
Because I'm eating this hamburger. I can't.
I got a knee injury from when I was an all-district linebacker. That's why.
We were watching. Man, they set a record for the half mile. The woman set the record for it was the fastest half marathon, rather. Fastest half marathon in the Western Hemisphere.
Wow. It
ever.
Was cold. My wife was freaking out because it was 34. And then she said, that was perfect running.
Yeah.
She was loved how
and
cold it
how
was.
They're lucky they didn't have those winds from Saturday.
Those
Saturday.
Brutal.
We're walking
40 mile an hour
down
wind
the street on Montrose where they were running. I swear to God, it almost picked us up and carried us.
So was that just the half marathon? Nicole thought it would be half marathon by your house because they split off.
No, the marathon goes by our house.
It does?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to remember where you are, but that's what I told her. She goes, I think it's half marathon. I said, I think it's the marathon.
Didn't she go up Montrose?
West U. I think so. I didn't catch her there. That was relatively early. She demanded I go get her. There was a very specific donut order I was supposed to go get from Hugs and Donuts. Two maple bacons, two cookie butters. And she crushed all four donuts.
Good for her.
After she was done. And we went to
did she drink
provisions.
Beer? Because all those marathoners drink beers. Those people like to drink beer.
No.
There's a keg at the end.
She did not, but you know what she did have at the end? I mean, you know what she did have in the middle of the race? You know, you have people. One lady was handing out Starburst candies. Mm. There were bananas. There's drinks. One lady was handing out cooked bacon. And my wife goes, put her hand in and took like a hand of, like took five strips of bacon. And the other girl next to us went, gross. Nicole goes, this is perfectly cooked bacon. This is really good. And my wife's eating bacon on the run.
Eating bacon.
No, but she did go get, she did. We went to pass some provisions to their brunch, and she laid into that.
Good for her.
And the chef.
How were her feet? Did they hurt?
Yeah, they're a little.
The feet suck. That's the worst.
She hung on. She held up okay physically. Good probably for her. Better than the other.
Well, 4:09:59.
That's
she got,
not bad.
She beat her.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Dell, apparently the stream
is
down.
I could have run it.
I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Yeah.
We talked about this already.
Let's get Mo in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Mo.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
What's going on?
The ref you were talking about is Joe Penitentiary. Is it Penitentiary or Penitentiary?
No, it was Mike Pereira. There's three different ones. And that guy, there's Gene Steratore. There's the one you're talking about. Steratore, yeah. And then there's the one you're talking about who's been very, very good. Well, the one they had on college football broadcasts, he was great. On ABC, he never missed, ever.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I did get the guy wrong, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. All right, man.
That's okay, Mo. We appreciate the help.
Thanks for the effort, though.
We appreciate that.
That was good effort. Good job. Good effort.
Absolutely.
713-780-3776. If you want to get in and talk about that game, you're more than welcome. You Saints fans got to be happy with how that thing turned out for you. I would imagine. No, every Saint fan feels like the NFL. My daughter is now a huge – her life is ruined because of yesterday's game.
I was telling my wife this. If you live in Louisiana, like you don't – there aren't – in Texas, you could be Texans. You could be – Cowboys. I mean, a lot of people move here, so you might be a fan.
You're a redneck.
Sometimes we have a lot of Saints fans who live.
You're a redneck hillbilly, you can be a Cowboy fan.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not judging people, but I am.
And a racist.
And then you've got, I didn't say that, Cowboys fans. And then you've got, you know, a lot of Saints fans live here. If you live in New Orleans, chances are if you live in Louisiana, you're from Louisiana. A lot of people don't just like, we should move to Louisiana, like for the schools. They don't really say that much. That I found, like, let's move to New Orleans for the school system because New Orleans is like, Louisiana doesn't really care about.
There are some private schools there.
Oh, yeah. Public schools, like, how much money can we get this year? Mm-hmm. Whatever we got in our right pocket.
That's it.
What? That's it? They're not really big on spending for public education. But anyway.
It's not Mississippi, though.
I guess. Is that what's on the bumper sticker?
No.
It's not Mississippi, though?
Yeah. that's a song that what's his name? Good Lord, he's awesome. We see him at the Floribama every year. It's called Alabama. Thank you, Mississippi. Without you, we'd be 50. We'd be 50th in education if it wasn't for you, Mississippi. So that's, yeah. What the hell's his name? Anyway, he's hilarious. And if it wasn't for you, thank you, Mississippi. If it wasn't for you, we'd be 50.
Well, I can tell you this. I told her this. I said, if you live in Louisiana, you're a Saints fan. I don't care where you are. Shreveport might be some Cowboy fans. I've heard Shreveport's basically like extended Dallas, but the rest of the state is going to be Saints. And don't try to come in with a tweet and tell me, actually, mm-mm, the Falcons have a fan base. It's Saints.
I will say this, though. Like in Cajun land down in Lafayette, there's a lot of people. It's Louisiana is New Orleans and everywhere else. Up north, up in Redneck area, they're Cowboy fans up there.
No, I know. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Shreveport, they're Cowboy
Shreveport fans. Shreveport is Cowboy fans. And all those rednecks up there. Down in Cajun land, they're more LSU and really don't give a rat's ass about the Saints, a lot of people.
There's some of that.
Yeah,
there's some of that. It's the same way. If you live in New Orleans, you're an LSU fan primarily.
I mean, that was terrible though. Sean Payton back to back year. You do got to feel bad for that dude. And Drew Brees back to back years. You don't feel?
No, I don't feel bad for him.
Screw him.
No, not that. But I'm like, I don't. I got other things to worry about. Than, yeah. Oh no, the Saints.
I got a tough life here.
Yeah, man. Okay? I got a. I mean, I had to sleep in all day and then get up and watch the game. It's difficult.
I mean, there's all kinds of things.
I got things I gotta worry about.
I gotta worry about.
I gotta devote some energy to the Saints.
I got a little cough because of all those Coors.
I mean, I
had a bunch of Coors Lights
yesterday.
Much
the last couple of days. Now my shoulder hurts a little bit from sleeping on my right shoulder.
I had a bunch of Coors Lights yesterday, said John.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm a little hoarse today because of it. That's really on me, though.
Yeah, but you ain't got the time or the energy to worry about the Saints.
Screw the Saints. 731 ESPN 97.5. What about Men's Tea Clinic?
You
could use some of that.
So I went last this past Friday. And, you know, I was off my regular schedule because I was in Tampa. And so the doctor says, that's no problem. He changed the dosage for me to catch me back up. And that's one of the reasons that I really, really like them a lot. There's a lot of people who have gone and been diagnosed with low testosterone. And it happens in over 33% of the men out there. But when you get diagnosed, it's actually, I know you're going to look at it as, oh, man, that's just devastating. It's not devastating. Now you know what it was that was causing you to have such a lack of energy or maybe a lack of drive on the weekends. You're a couch potato. Maybe you're always tired. Maybe you work out and you continue to see a decline in your body composition because you have, you know, you have belly flab where there was once more lean muscle. These are all potential signs of low testosterone. For some people, it can be your libido or it can be drive at the workplace to climb up the ladder, so to speak. Men's Tea Clinic gets that back for you. They get that energy and that boost back for you. It gets you back to where you're supposed to be. The first advantage you're going to see is your energy level goes back to where it should be, and you will see a spike there, which is a huge plus. But then the second thing you'll see is after 2 to 3 months when your body is fully integrated, your testosterone level, you're going to start to see a difference in your body type. And if you're working out with it, it's like you got an additional boost to your workouts is what it's like, and you start to really see a huge difference. MensTeaClinic.com. If you've been tested and you found that you're not getting the results at some other place, go to Men's Tea Clinic where you always see a provider, and they will get you on a system and a plan that gives you the optimal results. MensTeaClinic.com, Pearland, Pasadena, Cypress, and the Heights. MensTeaClinic.com.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Del, tell the Marcus Peters story before we move, because he is special. I love Marcus Peters.
Yeah, I mean, as you see guys shaking hands at the end, you might have caught Marcus Peters and Cameron Jordan.
They were shaking hands?
Yeah, well, no, not those two. Cameron Jordan and Marcus Peters going at and other Saints. I think Talib was in there actually trying to be a peacemaker. The impetus...
Said no one ever.
Yeah, the impetus for that is that, like, they're showing a montage of the field goal going through and the Saints and the Rams winning. They show Marcus Peters. Obviously, he's thrilled that his team's going to the Super Bowl. And they see him running onto the field. But he's not running to go celebrate with Greg Zuerlein and the holder and Johnny Hecker. He's making a beeline to the Saints bench. And he just runs. And they don't show what happened. But
I saw
that
the
guy
sprint
is
part,
maybe
yeah.
the... I don't care about the me guy stuff because I don't care as long as you can play. But he may be the epitome of the me guy. He couldn't even celebrate with anyone as he was going to the Super Bowl. He had to go find
Saints.
He
wasn't
to talk
happy
to.
About the Super Bowl. He was happy about the Saints losing.
And did you see the shot? It was only up a second or two. Is Sean McVay's running over to break it up? Instead of celebrating with his team, McVay's got to go and break up Marcus Peters' fight.
And Marcus Peters wasn't done at the end of the... When he was asked about the game, he goes, hey, man, their coach blew it. If he would have ran the football... We wouldn't even be here talking about this right now.
I mean,
so he's got all he wants all the smoke.
Oh yeah, No, he wants to dig the knife in. Like, he wants to dig. But then he's, like, into a fight with Amari Cooper afterwards. You got Tlaib, who was had multiple exchanges with Crabtree back in the day. Ndamukong Suh, you know about him. He's not afraid to stomp out your genitals if he needs to. You have got a bunch of card-carrying ruffians on that squad.
And they went all in.
Peters is probably the ultimate Migo.
And they went all in, and it's worked. I don't know if it can work for more than a year with the combustion that could possibly come if they don't play.
But they got what they wanted.
Yeah, they got exactly what they wanted.
The Miami Marlins did.
Yeah, when the Florida Marlins were doing their thing. And it's the perfect scenario because you know what's going to happen. Julian Edelman is one of those guys who loves to talk, and if he gets a first down, he's going to let you know about it. Marcus Peters may kill someone on that field if things aren't going well. Because the whole, I'm Marcus Peters, why is Chris Hogan having a big day against me? That's not supposed to happen.
When Edelman gets up. With his first down dance.
I feel like Marcus Peters would be okay. Like if Dorsett ran by him, okay. Right. He's a track guy in college.
Yeah.
If Edelman is abusing me for 110 yards, I don't think he's going to take too kindly to it.
You're right, though. Really going to be like the Chris Hogan. I'm trying to think of who the other. Because Tom has really figured out I need to be throwing it. Sonny Michel has made all the difference.
Yeah, he has.
Team. Holy moly. And I thought that was a great pickup for them. And I also liked Isaiah Wynn, by the way, who didn't play this year. But Sonny Michel is what they wanted Stephen Ridley to be. He is just such a downhill. He is a no mess around back.
Yeah.
He is a no mess around back. And I was thinking about this, and I put this on Twitter. We'll get to you guys on the phone line here. For as much as 12 does cover up a lot of roster inequities for the Patriots and a lot of talent disparity at certain positions. You know, that organization is so good at preparation. They prepare. They know what they're going to do. And that really goes to Bill Belichick and his coaching staff, along with Tom Brady and the defenders, everybody who's on a team. But their preparation and execution, when they just say, okay, this is how we're going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to run the ball. We're going to force them into their fronts that they don't like, you know, that's not as good against the run. And then when they switched to their run-based fronts, they throw the ball.
Then we'll throw it.
I mean, it doesn't seem that complicated, but when I think of the Texans, that's what Bill O'Brien's supposed to be doing too, is gaming people into doing what they don't want to do.
Yeah, we're not doing that around here. We're just going to run our plays. It doesn't matter what they're in. We're going to run our
77 plays. Trent Brown could be a Texan in the offseason, so just keep an eye on that.
I wouldn't mind
the left tackle for the
I wouldn't mind that at all.
For the Patriots is going to be a free agent. Keep an eye on
it. And every guy wants to leave the Patriots and come here.
Yeah. Seems
the money's right, because Patriots aren't all about paying everyone money.
You know,
sometimes they
will. I remember when Bill O'Brien was hired, the talk was, we're going to be opponent-specific with our game plan. Every week, we're going to put a game plan in place to beat a specific opponent. I feel like that's been a stretch.
Kind of feel like, maybe we'll do some of that.
Yeah, because
maybe we'll just run some plays.
I know people are in love with that comment.
No, Bill O'Brien, he does.
Everyone does just, it. It's just not as unique as the Patriots.
Well, I just don't think they're as good at it. They're just not.
No.
They're just not as good at it. Tiny's in here. Let's get him in. Hey, Tiny, what's going on?
What's up, brother?
How about that game, Tiny?
Man, let me tell you. I can sit here and blame the referees, which I did yesterday, and so did my dad, so did my wife. In fact, she broke a bottle of vodka on the floor. She was so pissed. But when Ted Ginn catches that ball, if he would have just ran the ball twice, two plays in a row, the Rams would have burned two timeouts. Then you put the ball in Drew Brees' hands, which they did on third down, and then there wasn't the PI. But I blame that series of play calling right there. Sean Payton kind of he. I don't know.
It was not a great set of play calls.
Well, I'm gonna again though. If that was Brady, or you know what, Brady just makes that throw. You know what, Drew Brees just makes that throw. I want it in Drew Brees. I just don't understand what the hell he did.
But he held onto
that ball and it just went into the ground.
It's not like Mark Ingram and Kamara hadn't had some success. Why not give it to 22 and let him bang around in there and force him to call timeouts. I mean, that was math at the end. You just wanted to subtract
all
time.
All day long.
That was just math
at
all
the end.
All
day long.
Yeah, I get that, but except this. The Patriots and the Saints use their passing game a lot as their running game. And you got to believe that Drew Brees, Hall of Famer, is going to make that throw. What the hell was that throw?
But if he doesn't, just one time you have allowed them to save, to hang on to a timeout.
I get it, and it was the wrong call. However, yeah, I think nine times out of ten, he just makes that throw.
He does. He kind of gagged it.
So, my last question is probably more Lance-related, but when is the NFL going to force their officials to, tell the truth? Because they were questioned to play. They all said no. And then Larry Holder and Jim Kleinpeter and the other guys in NOLA all took the same pictures. They were all watching the same play. They said none of them seen it. They couldn't make the call because they didn't see it. When is the NFL going to make their officials accountable?
Well, they have. A lot of times.
When are they going to make them accountable?
Well, they don't.
When is the commissioner finally going to do his job, Lance?
Will he stop allowing the deep state to run his league, Lance?
We were texting about this yesterday, me and the commissioner. And he said, we're going to get to the bottom of this and hold people accountable. So, Tiny, everything's fine.
Oh.
The commissioner said, we're going to hold people accountable.
Is that going to start next season or this? Or
it may be in the form of a letter saying, be better, but you know what? They're going to know that they didn't do good.
Well,
you're welcome.
Honestly,
Tiny.
How
does this get put on my ticket?
You're the NFL guy here.
I don't.
And you defend Roger Goodell at all times.
Yeah, you work
I'm
for Roger Goodell directly.
I'm sorry, he grows the league. And
Roger,
you know what we're talking about today?
Checks.
You know what we're talking about today? The game, Tiny.
That's
you're
true.
Welcome.
The referees allowed us to talk about the game, Tiny. If not for them, we wouldn't be talking about
an official. They had an official fired midseason this year. For a missed call.
That false start.
It wouldn't be in
London.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a surprise if there are some people who... Ooh. Now, these are playoff refs, so I'm assuming they're pretty good.
They're the best.
But that miss is unconscionable. And that combined with the miss on Brady... Now, I didn't think the one... I thought it went from the body and it kind of ricocheted up to the... I didn't have a problem with it not being called with Mahomes earlier in the game. But the one on Brady was just a complete miss.
They missed two face masks at least in that Saints game. Two. They missed the Saints snapping the ball after the clock had expired.
I must have seen that 14 times this year in the NFL. I don't know why it's like a league edict or something where the referees say, look, if it's close, let's give it to him on the snap.
Isn't there like a rule that he looks, and then there's some like in between the time the ref either looks at the play clock go to zero and is about to blow his
whistle. You're not supposed to anticipate the zero.
No.
He has to allow it to hit zero, and if they get the snap off, you don't blow your whistle. I think is the rule.
I don't know.
It's a bad rule because it was zero and they snapped the ball. That was clearly after.
Always like they play to the echo of the zero in terms of
hey,
when
did
they
you guys
want
to
right, so we got to on the other side. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. 713-780-3776.
Texas Custom Patios is somebody waiting for you right now.
Yeah, over in an hour, they're going to be waiting for you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
so
right.
Sit tight. In 1 hour, less than 1 hour, Texas Custom Patios coming up here on the show.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein. That's how we
already know. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 737-8037-76. How much of this is Andy Reid? How much of this was, I think, as opposed to blaming Andy Reid, because they did. They played well in the second half. They played really well. They said it was pretty spirited. I'm reading a story right here where the Chiefs said, it was really spirited at halftime. And Mahomes told him, we're going to put up 30 in this half. Let's go. And he let him out onto the field.
He's got that. He's got that internal thing he does.
And he was really, really good.
Yep.
But as much as I hate it, Belichick is real, dude. I mean, what did they have, 32 yards at the half? I mean, that it was unbelievable how good they were and how ready. See, that's just like Bill O'Brien, always ready for the game, always unbelievable game plan to shut down the opponent.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
That's where Bill O'Brien learned it, okay? This that and it's so unbelievable that he brought that with him to what Bill Belichick taught.
You do dumbass things, you know. Pretty soon you're going to be labeled a dumbass.
So I mean, that's that training that they get, all of them. What coach comes out of there actually learning anything from Bill Belichick? And
Charlie Weiss.
And that dude is always so prepared, and he just shut them down. Now. Hey, Brady doesn't throw that pick on the second drive.
This is
a blowout.
That Nick Saban forever has gotten that same rub that he's you know the same kind of guy. But really, he just recruits better. If you really think about game preparation,
yeah, but that ain't,
and some of the games,
yeah.
He does not have that.
He just has better players.
That field goal, that fake field goal into that front was like. That's ruined it forever for me for Nick Saban. That has clouded my judgment. Now I just realize he recruits great. He coaches well. He develops. But Bill Belichick game plans, executes, and finds your weaknesses.
Because he doesn't have better players than everybody.
No, it's because he doesn't draft great. But Bill Belichick, to me, is the Hannibal Lecter of pro football coaching because he mentally, he defeats you. He looks for your weaknesses and flaws. And sometimes... You know what I'm always amazed by? I'm interested to see if you are. Chuck wants to talk about Andy Reid. We'll get to that in a second because poor Andy Reid. But have you ever noticed when they check into the Patriots, you'll see something defensively, and the Patriots check into something that I would swear, like they'll check into run plays, and I think, ooh, why are you running into this front? And it always works. They just see the gap alignment. There's something there that allows them to make smart football decisions. And then having Tony Romo call a Patriots game, I think, is so good because Romo is really good at giving you insight into the game. And he was talking about yesterday during the game, he was talking about how if they see a double A gap look, if you show them a look, they will basically run over tackle because, yeah, so they're not getting out of the run because even if you try to bail out of it, you can still fade a pass. So if you try to bail out of it into a pass, the Patriots basically say, no, if you're going to get your guys sucked up in there, we're going to run to where they're caught in the traffic and they can't flow to it. So we're going to take advantage of you trying to run games on us. We're going to just check right into a run play that you can't get to. Here's another great example, Bill Belichick. How many times did they run under center, take a snap from under center yesterday? More than 50% of the time, I would assume. When's the last time you saw a Tom Brady team run primarily from under center? It's usually from the gun, right? Yesterday, Bill Belichick said, we're going old school, and it's going to be the Sony Michel show, and we're going to run right at you guys. And then he brings in James White for third downs and runs with James White, who you think is going to be the scat back throw it.
Mm-mm.
James has turned into a hard-running guy. Like, no. He'll give you some hard runs.
There was a third and four that they ran to the right.
First down. Ran right over right tackle out of the gun. First down. I was like, golly. They just ran it.
Well, that first drive you just knew, and it was, you know, it couldn't have been more perfect. Now, I don't know how much of that is McDaniels, how much of that is Belichick, how much of that is Brady, but I guess it's all of them. They're just such a good organization that's just ready and just outthinks everybody, just outthinks you. It's just amazing, and that's what the Texans are. Chuck is with us here. On ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Chuck?
What's up, guys?
What do you say?
Well, that was my question. I always think Andy Reid's a great coach, but the thing that always gets me with Belichick is he coaches the whole team, the whole game. Did you see the Patriots special teams? I mean, they were ready for Tyreek Hill. Unbelievable. And then, you know, it just every part of the game is a part of the system, and it's supposed to be a copycat league, but nobody seems to be able to copycat what Belichick does. Because for God's sake, they went 11-5 with Matt Castle at quarterback. I just don't understand how nobody sees this and adjusts to it. That's it, guys.
No, all right, man.
It's real easy to say you're going to copycat the Patriots, but the fact is, unless you start with 12, It's hard to just copycat. No. What are you going to copycat? They have a mode of doing things. Usually with draft, I don't know who they're going after. And I figured out philosophically what they do. They just evaluate differently. They want the long arm guys at defensive end, like Deatrick Wise and Trey Flowers. Same physical composition. They don't care about size on the interior. They just want really, really smart. They had David Andrews at center, undersized. Shaq Mason, who's like a 6'1" squatty guard from Georgia Tech, intelligent guy. And then Joe Thuney at the left guard. Their tackles, they want big on the outside. But then at wide receiver, Bill Belichick has gone completely. I was told this by a guy who used to scout with him. He wants the smartest guys he can find at wide receiver, because a lot of what they do, Tom and the wide receiver have to be on the same page. They have to read safeties, read their coverage, and they both have to know what the coverage is pre-snap and post-snap, so they can run their option routes. And if they're not on the same page, Tom does not like guys who don't have good football IQ. Like, he won't throw to you if you don't have a good football IQ, because you can't read the defense like he's reading it. And they say he won't even waste his time even targeting you. And maybe that's an issue with Chris Hogan. I don't know, because I thought Hogan was going to be a big target this year.
I did too.
You did too.
Yeah, I drafted him.
But they say Edelman, former quarterback, just sees the field exactly like Brady does. Yep.
All right, 758 ESPN.
How about Edelman's bet against us t-shirt?
Yeah, I told him on Friday too. I am. Okay, thanks for the advice, Edelman, because I am betting against you. I was thanked him. A-hole. What a day I had.
Well, he was being facetious.
What a good day I had yesterday. 0-4. 0-4. There are only 4 bets, and I missed everyone.
I had Chiefs, too. It could have ended well for us at one point.
I thought it. If it wasn't for D Ford, it would have.
Yeah, that's right. Well, no, we still had to get off the field on fourth down. That's no guarantee either.
7:58 ESP. No, they intercepted the pass.
Oh, that's right. That was the pick.
That was the pick.
Oh, I was thinking of the other third downs they converted.
No, it was a pick. It was Sorensen picked it.
Bob Sutton took care of that for you. He goes, I know you guys got a bet, but I'm going to play too deep, leave the middle field open, so you can't win your bet.
God, everything was just. Because Tom Brady never throws in the middle of the field ever.
No, never in breaking
routes. Never throws in breaking routes in front of safeties ever.
No, let's keep
except always
15 yards off the line of scrimmage.
All right, 7:59 ESPN 975 713 780 3776 20.
You're listening to ESPN 975.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.